It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Frozen West Virginia, more like howdy. And here we are off and running on this first broadcast of 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. I had a three-day weekend, and it feels like a three-week vacation or something. Whew. I mean, we were just here last Friday, and then boom, Saturday, Sunday, yesterday. And I feel like maybe time is passing slowly because time slows down in extreme cold, like, you know, reptiles do or something. Because it's freezing. I mean, this is just stupid. Yeah, I know, it's free. Hey, Bob, it's winter. Yeah, I get that. I most assuredly do get that. But, Jesus, really? Yeah, climate change. I remember a few years ago when it was too warm on Christmas Day for a coat, the handy dandy thermometer on the wall says that up there at about 6 feet 6 inches above the floor, it's 55 degrees. I can assure you, it ain't that here. Not by a long stretch. No freaking way. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn. And it is the first program. It's the second day of January, 2018. I took a religious holiday yesterday. I watched college football and worked on New Year's Day food. And I had a blast doing that. Oh, an absolute blast doing that. I mean, this was like extreme barbecue or something. On Sunday, New Year's Eve, I mean, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't, Agnes and I, we just kind of hung out here at the fabulous Horn Kincaid Mansion compound. You know, we sat aboard the Horn Gulfstream 5, jet and toasted ourselves with a little bit of Dom Perignon and you know, snacked on some lark's vomit canapes and hummingbird tongues wrapped in, endangered species bacon or something. I don't know what the rich people do. Fuck them. Yeah. But no, we had a quiet day here, but I did go up to the Wiggling Pig, and I got myself a whole brisket. Not one of those trimmed up little things that'll just dry up in the... No. You gotta have that. You gotta have the real deal there, and they cut me and they give me a nice price on it. And I brought it home, and I dry rubbed it, and created a seasoning rub involving the aforementioned much praised. Szechuan chili peppers, or Szechuan peppercorns, rather. And it was some kind of wonderful. but I smoked it, you know, on the outdoor smoker there, because I don't have an indoor one. And it was a pretty brutal affair to do that. I mean, freaking cold. At one point in time, I checked, and I was actually running the smoker. In 8 degrees above zero Fahrenheit. Yeah, really. Give me a sec here. It was brutally cold. I mean, hatefully cold. And still, you know, I got everything. It worked. It worked to a T. I tell you what, that smoker is amazing, especially in low temperatures like that. And just another minute. New year brings new problems. The main site is down, headonradionetwork.com. I'll be taking steps to make that better ASAP. But if you can't get to the chat room and you want to get in, go over to headon.live, headon.live. That's why Brother Deacon Asa maintains the backup that he does. If you scroll all the way down, there's a link to the chat room. That's how I got there. Headon.live. That's also where one of the two streams comes out. I presume that we're sending to... I hope we're sending to both streams for the first time of the new year. It was kind of an uneventful New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm past the point of going out. Well, I just, you know, amateur night, right? But God Almighty, it's been cold here. I know it's been colder elsewhere. Lots of places colder than here. But I checked in with family down on the Gulf Coast. And God Almighty, overnight, you know, when it gets down to 13 on the Redneck Riviera, you know it's gotten bad. I mean, there'll be all kinds of stuff frozen and dead from Biloxi all the way east to, yeah. And my sister's plants are going to just be slaughtered. This is the kind of weather extremes that we can expect to come from, you know, the Chinese hoax. And, of course, Donnie Dimwit, Dolt 45, was blathering about that via Twitter, you know, from his nasty pile of bricks in Florida. Tune in's timing out, Bob. Well, I guess that means we're going to start 2018 with White Rose server problems. Oh, well. But hopefully we're getting out via headon.live. I hope folks have, yeah. And, of course, there are thanks to send out. Yes, there are. There are thanks indeed to send out. Let me go backward, turn backward, right? Thanks very kindly to Jerry for jumping in on fundraising for the year of the end of the year. And for the first day of the year, thanks go out to our buddy Bob in North Carolina. And to Joseph in Washington. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. Thank you to Anne Marie in beautiful, probably not at all comfortably warm New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you to Brock. Thank you very kindly, Brock. Thank you to Smitty in Florida. Thanks very kindly to Peter in Austin. Thank you, Peter. And thank you to Lauren up in, why don't you quit complaining about how cold it is, Bob? Lauren up in Alberta, where it's probably colder than Mars. And thanks to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thanks as well to Clarence in Philly. And thanks to Paul down in far off Arizona. Thanks go out as well to Albert in North Carolina, to Darren in California, and to Elizabeth in New York. Thank you very much indeed. And I'm going to go into the details of this here in a second so we can get into the rest of the program. Just get this out of the way. I got to tell you, I got spoiled over the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks. I got really, really spoiled. It was so nice to go through days and days and days of this program without having to mention fundraising. And, of course, for that, we have to thank our Hornica miracle, in which at first there wasn't enough money, and then there was enough money, so that we could finish the year having met our monthly fundraising goal. I got spoiled. I cannot tell you what a joy it would be to get behind the microphone and do this program every evening and never have to mention fundraising again. But I'm going to have to. I know that. No getting around it. By the way, also, thank you to Reggie. Thank you, Reggie, for jumping in there as well. I think I've got everybody mentioned there. So here's where we stand. It's a new month, and I've got to fundraise, and I got to do it every night, and that sucks, but it's how we keep the program on. It's how the lights stay on. Jesus, God, I can't even stand the thought of what the power bill's going to be, but it's going to be what it is, and then there's the heat, and we've added a kerosene heater into the mix, so that's making a big difference, but it's also, and it'll cut down on some of the propane, so bad. But anyway, I got spoiled last month, and here in 2018, here's the plan I've come up with. You can tell me if you don't like it or if you do or whatever, but here's the plan. We're going to fundraise at ordinary amounts every day, and I'll keep track of the subscriptions, too. Because usually what I've been doing is I'll take the subscribers and subtract that from the evening's fundraising amount. What we're going to do is we're going to fundraise the regular amount every day, And I'll keep a running tally of the subscriptions and the contributions. And then if it is at all possible, hopefully by the time we reach the end of the third week of the month or something, we will have finished the month. That's the theory. Because if we could figure out something where every month, you know, we could have at least a week of zero fundraising, so that I just jump behind the microphone and we do this program and none of this bullshit taking place, that would be awesome. Of course, with the beginning of the new year, there's also this. You know, the Patreon campaign is out there, and as is the the regular PayPal subscription stuff. If we could get to the point where we had that many subscribers, I'd just shut up about fundraising. You know, if we had the equivalent of $410 a month subscribers. We don't. But thank you. Silent R. Lamar says, hooray, I'm in, kicking and screaming. I hope the kicking and screaming is like a happy and good kicking and screaming. But that's where we are. And so, all that having been said, it's the first program of the month. And Gary, our buddy labor man, has, true to his pledge, has stepped forward as, and of course there's him and an anonymous person and one other, who are, doing this. We start the month, you know, for several years we had Shirley's Challenge on the first broadcast day of the month. And that meant that we had a $200 challenge on the table, one day's funding. Well, with the passing of our dear friend Bruce, who was the originator of Shirley's Challenge, Laborman didn't want that to just go away. So, the first day of the new year, the first day of January in the new year, Shirley's Challenge is on the table. And that means if we have $200 worth of contributions this evening, Laborman, along with his two colleagues, will double it. Okay? So that's where it stands. Now, that brings me to another thing. Oy vey. About this time every year, because I can't seem to... the way dates are written, and yada, yada, yada. This time every year, there winds up being a problem with our server. Because the payment's due. And I'm perfectly capable of making the payment, but I popped in here this evening, and boom, it said the server's down. So I know that's what's going on. So if you want to contribute this evening, just go over to headon.live that Brother Deacon Asa maintains. And if you scroll down, there's a link to the Patreon campaign, and there's a link to PayPal. Use those. Also, if you're having a hard time getting into the chat room, and by hard time I mean completely unable, then also go to headon.live, and at the bottom of the page there's a link, again, to the chat room. Some people seem to be figuring it out, because, for instance, if you pick out a screen name and a password and jump right in by doing what I just described it, well, you'll be met by Anatole and Asa and Hoghead and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and Steve from Georgia Stan, all, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, Being a spacing guildmaster has folded space to become man cave. Apparently, it's not too bad out in the man cave right now. Me, I can't really feel. I'm going to have to get some of those fingerless gloves or something because I can't feel my freaking hands. And my feet will feel like they're on fire before too awfully long. Well, thank you. I agree. Silent R. Lamar says, I must say, Bob, it was nice to hear you preach for a week without passing the plate. I can't remember when I was able to do that any other time. And it absolutely changed my approach to the program. It changed, it did. It made it a lot more fun to do. So if we can figure out a way where we get another week of that at the end of every month, it's freaking awesome. So let's try to raise $200 this evening, and that'll kick in the matching challenge. And then we'll do it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. It creeps each day into, yeah, whatever. Thank you, Shakespeare. And then hopefully we'll be able to do a fundraising-free week at the end of every month. Okay? In the meantime, until I can get the server stuff sorted out after the program, just access the chat room via the link at headon.live, headon.live. Alrighty? Okay. So, have we got that covered? $200 challenge on the table. Let's take care of it, and then, at least for the rest of the program, I don't have to talk about it. Now, other technical stuff. Sheesh. Other technical stuff. Skype is still a mess, and I don't know why. So when we get to the call-in portion of the program, some sort of miracle where I get to buy a new godforsaken phone processor and bring in a bunch of expensive phone lines, we will have to move forward thusly. Listen very carefully. You don't have to email me or anything, but if you want to call into the program, send me a note. Either you can email me, or you can send me a note on Skype saying, I want to talk on the program. And then, as long as you're on Skype, not a landline, this works with Skype, then I can call you. Okay? All right, so there we go. When we get to the conversation radio portion of the program, tell me you want on the air, and I will call you. Because that's how this fucked up Skype fuck up is fucking up. All right? So hopefully that's as clear as mud, and we can get on with the program. Because, you know, and I consider this a point of celebration. It may be colder than hell. Well, that doesn't make sense. It may be freaking frigid, but the holidays, and I really can't emphasize how happy.
It may be freaking frigid.
Now, oh, I know why that is. Ah, busted. Okay, all better now. Forgot about the player. But, yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Will in Chicago, letting me know. Among some of the northern peoples, Bob, hell is thought of as cold. Well, I can understand why. But anyway, even though it's frigid as a polar bear's testicles. There, how's that? Or paw pads or something like that. Even though that's the case, there is reason to celebrate. And the reason to celebrate is a very simple one. The holidays are over. Thank you, canned studio audience. I'm so glad the holidays are over. The stress and we can take a little bit of a breather from the war on Christmas. And go back to dealing with life in Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, forever, today, in the universe, under God. And do what we do best. Engage in meaningful, topical conversation about the issues and events of the day. That's true. Steve in New York wishing us all a very happy new year and reminding us, remember, the ninth circle of hell is Satan frozen in ice with a pineapple up his ass, backwards. The pineapple, that's the only good thing that, what's his name, has ever contributed to the cinematic arts. Oh, you know who I'm talking about. The Happy Gilmore guy. Yeah, the scene with Hitler getting the pineapple up. Yep, that's beautiful. Through all eternity. But the holidays are over. And so we'll just return to our regularly scheduled madness. A madness of... But it's not a regular madness, is it? This is the madness of the era of Dolt 45. This is the era of the madness of the Tangerine Tiberius. And so, as the old year went out, so will the new year begin. And that, of course, is arbitrary, too. It's not like there are gears on this planet. I would if I could. Scott says, please repeat the sentence you just shared about the fucked up status of Skype. I'd like to attempt to diagram it. Greater minds than we have made that attempt, Scott. Thence lies madness. But there's no set of gears attached to the planet and, you know, we click over and boom, you know we're in a new year. And in the grand metaphysical scheme of things, as far as I'm concerned, every new day is a new year, and there are no two alike. And frankly, that is better reflected, I think, in the Mayan calendar than it is in the one we presently use, because it creates the sense that January 1st is the same as January 1st. Well, as we can tell by the current temperatures, that ain't so. We are on a sweet little blue-green time machine hurtling helically through the universe, or at least through the galaxy. One wonders how far this little planet will get in such life as it has. We are fortunate enough to be able to bear witness to some small part of it. But everybody doesn't agree on January 1st. Asian cultures do it differently. Muslim cultures do it differently. Jewish cultures do it differently. Lunar calendars versus solar calendars. But we have this fascination with marking the beginnings of things and the ends of things. We like to tie things up with neat little semantic bows. And that's what happens when the ball drops, and that's what happens when, if they had any sense at all, CNN would dig up the withering corpse of Dick Clark and run a little 440 through it. Don't tell me it's 480 or whatever, Sparky. I know. I just can't keep up with the numbers. Electricians. Run a little 440 through it and reanimate him to replace, as Sandra pointed out over the weekend, that god-awful duo that CNN had on. Oh, the New Year's coverage. It was just terrible. Well, thank you, News Ninja Gene, pointing out, colder than hell makes perfect sense if you're Loki's daughter, Hel, from Norse mythology. Well, there's that, too. Thank you, Gene. That's another thing I'm looking forward to, is the return of Season 2 of American Gods. That was a lot of fun. February 2nd marks the premiere of Altered Carbon, something I've been waiting for since Reverbo turned me on to that magnificent science fiction trilogy years and years and years ago. But it's all arbitrary. New years, old years. Years are, in a way, arbitrary. Seasons aren't. Years are. And it's all a matter of how your mind organizes things. The Mayan calendar, their fascination was with the number 13, and they had a base 13 numerical system that also worked in tandem with a base 52 numerical system, and that just makes my head hurt. And, of course, it's time for me this year. It's 27 minutes before the hour. And just a gentle reminder, because people come in, people go out, new listeners, old listeners, whatever. It's time for me to remind folks that we celebrate New Year's Day on January the 1st because the... Well, see, I knew he would... Thank you, Sparky. There's 480 and 460 also. Depends on the transformer. Whatever transformer you reanimated Dick Clark would be better than Anderson Cooper and whoever that other dude was. And remember, Kathy Griffin wasn't there because she once stood with a photograph of a badly fashioned head of Donald Trump, and consequently was fired. I tell you, fired by Chicken Noodle News because it was so rude to the presidency. That's why she wasn't there this year. Yeah. Never mind the fact that... Well, you know what? The most accurate representation of Donald Trump may now be down at Disney World in the Hall of Presidents. Where that Trump image is less realistic than the one that Kathy Griffin posed with. And it acts a lot like it has recently had a stroke, which is also a lot more true to life relative to Trump than... Right, yes. But it's New Year's are arbitrary things. And we only celebrate... Wouldn't it be nice if the New Year started on the summer solstice? And we started downhill toward winter I don't know. Maybe that'd bum people out even more. How about the new year starting on the vernal equinox? With the days getting longer and longer and longer up to the solstice until you've got the new year to look forward to and the rise of spring and growth and life. That'd work, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd be in favor of that. But no, we celebrate the new year in the dead of winter, at least. No, Robert and all my other friends in Australia. No, I'm not forgetting you guys. y'all celebrate it in the grips of high summer. Maybe it makes more sense for y'all than it does us. The whole planet doesn't have to celebrate a new year. No. This is so bizarrely cultural as to be almost laughable. Will in Chicago pointing out, I think that in Europe at one point, the new year began about March 25th. I think you're correct. I think the Romans did that as well. The new year began with the new season for planting and making war. But we have to celebrate it on January 1st because one particular culture has a hard-on for ritual genital mutilation. New Year's Day is New Year's Day, and I'm just reminding people, because way, way, way back when the church fathers decided that we needed a winter holiday somewhere around the solstice to compete with all the fun that the pagans were having, because somehow or another Christianity had to be made to seem fun. And there was Saturnalia and all kinds of feasts and carrying on that went with the winter solstice. The death of the old sun, the birth of the new sun. What? Birth of the sun? Why, let's make that Jesus' birthday. And so since Jesus was born on December 25th, because of the bizarre religious ritual that requires males in a certain culture to have their genitals mutilated a week after they've been born, we get New Year's Day. The New Year is a commemoration of the ritual genital mutilation of little baby Jesus. Isn't that just cool? Now, it's kind of gross, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But that's why we're here, and that's why the party hats, and that's why the crowds in Times Square, and that's why Anderson Cooper and whoever that other dude was that's why. Hell, I didn't even let anybody mark the New Year's for us. We're all carrying little pocket computers that have more accurate clocks in them than just about anything that the world has ever known. So when that happened, Agnes kissed me and I kissed Agnes, and well, there we were. 2018. Right here, right now. All because little baby Jesus was not allowed to keep his junk in one piece. Glory. So there, that's it. And that's the story. That's the story of New Year's Eve. Hey, thanks. Thank you very kindly to Will in Chicago for getting us started this evening. That means we got $180 to go to finish off Shirley's challenge for the month of January. Thank you very kindly indeed, Will. Oh, and I said the old year is going to sort of merge into the new year because it's all just madness. Well, I don't just say things. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
this thing creates such a server business. No end to it. I got to respond to a couple. No, the madness just and it's all just sort of a stream of unconsciousness thing. So you know that kind of thing knows no calendar, knows no sense. And after promising that he would, no, really, get right back to work, apparently that just meant that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini would get back to the Twitter machine. And there's no way anybody is ever going to be able to come up with a most stupid tweet by Dolt 45. But this one's in the running. 9:13 a.m. this morning. I saw it when I noticed that Sister Carol Baker was taking issue with it. Since taking office, I've been very strict on commercial aviation. Good news, it was just reported that there were zero deaths in 2017, the best and safest year on record. I'll let that sink in for a moment. That's right. The guy in the White House, who, if he was an actual president instead of a, you know, dementia-driven, spirochete-consumed simulacrum of a human being. He's taking credit for planes not crashing. And you know how this goes, sir, because I'm convinced that Stephen Miller and most of the other goobers there around him, they all sound like Smithers from The Simpsons. Sir, I just wanted to let you know that 2017 was the safest year for commercial aviation. Was it? I sure did a great job with that, didn't I? Yes, sir, you did a marvelous job. So, better trained pilots, union pilots, better upkeep, better maintenance, better mechanics. Nope, didn't have a damn thing to do with it. Donald J. Trump, super genius, with the purple stains of the berry juice dripping off of his lips through the force of his own mind and will, held up all of those aircraft flying all over the world, even the ones that flew between January 1st and January 20th, 2017, before he became president. Through the force of his will, he held up the aircraft and kept people from dying. Yes. Absolutely. He did. It sounded a little like, oh, I don't know, this.
Mentat Piter DeVries. Message for Mentat Piter DeVries. The Baron is impatient for Leto's reply.
It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. It is by the juice of Safu that thoughts acquire speed. The lips acquire stains. The stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.
Yeah. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. That's him. Yeah. Absolutely. Who knew that our, I mean, I thought you had to have some mens, you know, as in Latin for mind, mens mentis, mens meaning mind. I thought you had to have mens in order to be a mentat. Silly me. So, yeah, Donald Trump took credit for every plane that didn't crash last year. Does that mean that, I guess that means the Christians have to pray for Donald Trump whenever one of their loved ones flies, because, you know, science and engineering isn't keeping those aircraft aloft. It is the force of will of Donald Trump alone. He alone can keep the planes in the air. Being as he is a bit of an aviationophile, and I think I just invented a word, this is going to come as a big surprise to Brother Deacon Asa. Hell, if we, since we've got the 440 reanimator out, if we dig up Wilbur and Orville and run a little current through them, might come as a surprise to them too. Not just the current, the fact that Donald Trump is somehow holding aircraft in the sky with his mind. How can this be? For he is the Kwisatz Haderach.
God, no, I don't want. Oh no, no, we got it. Look, okay, I know we don't do resolutions or anything, but can we please resolve that we are all going to do everything in our power to remove Donald Trump from office this year, peacefully and legally and through accepted constitutional and governmental means? Well, except for anybody out there who, like, does voodoo or any of those sorts of dark art stuff. If you know, I got no control over that because I don't believe in it, but, you know, who am I to say? Right. But this is, you know, this is the challenge that we will face. As this latest arbitrarily determined 365-day cycle proceeds. And you better strap in. You better be ready. And what with it being the new year and all, I would be remiss if I did not tell you about the latest from Horn Nutraceuticals. At Horn Labs on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yes. This time of year, you've got to do everything you can to gin up as much luck as possible. That's why we've had nutritional supplements made of cabbage. And vegan hog jowl. Well, I'm here to tell you this evening about I'm here to tell you about holocryptic Hoppenjohn, only from the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Labs. Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes, yes indeed. Holocryptic Hoppenjohn is a proprietary blend of black-eyed peas, celery, onions, and sausage. Yes. Holocryptic Hoppenjohn is dried and ground and formed into a powder and put into tiny little capsules that you take every day to make sure that you're getting all the New Year's luck you possibly can need from one day to the next. If you act now and order a 90-day supply of Holocryptic Hoppenjohn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, then we will also send you, along with your 90-day supply that will cost you only $103.41, a little bundle of test strips with which you, in the privacy of your own home, can test your Holocryptic Hoppenjohn to make sure that what we say here is true. That Holocryptic Hoppenjohn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever and is, in fact, just another bullshit product, bullshit nutritional supplement that, like the others that get hustled on the radio day in and day out, because you can't be a real live, honest-to-God radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. That's why we're proud to offer you Holocryptic Hoppenjohn. Not just black-eyed peas, not just onions, not just celery, not just sausage, but a little bit of it all in a capsule form that will do absolutely nothing for you. Now, me, I love Hoppenjohn. Got a big pot of it in there on the in the crock pot even as we speak. I'll have a bowl after the program's over, and it will warm me all the way down to my toenails. But some people don't like the sort of earthy quality that black-eyed peas have. I do. And yet I still take, every day, my recommended daily allowance of Holocryptic Hoppenjohn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. I take it because I know that I'm going to need everything that it can provide me to get fully into the swing of the new year. Yes, yes, Holocryptic Hoppenjohn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, FOB, COD. BLACKEYEDPEAS. Holocryptic Hoppenjohn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs. Don't call now. Operators aren't standing by. Get yours today. Another bullshit nutritional supplement from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. So I like I said, had a big bowl of it. I had some earlier, going to have some again tonight. I love it. And it's rich in fiber. But still, I'll be taking my little capsules because, well, there's no nutritional value to it whatsoever. Okay? So anyway, we've got a guy occupying the White House who, and by the way, one of the fun games you can play with Trump's tweets is trying to figure out, because I don't think the Uniblab 10,000 buried under, you know, 15 stories of radiation-proof concrete down in the bowels of the earth somewhere in Virginia, I don't think it could sort out the pattern. But it's fun to try to figure out why it is or what it is, or maybe which spirochete it is. Is it Stan? Is it Melissa? That makes him capitalize particular words. Since taking office, I've been very strict on capital C, commercial, capital A, aviation. Good news. It was just reported that there were capital Z zero deaths in 2017. The best and safest year on record. Why he capitalized that zero, we'll never know. But it's awfully fun to try to figure out the answer. But he's been a busy boy today. It's like this was his New Year's gift. I went after Huma Abedin earlier. I went after Iran, trying to see what kind of hell he can get unleashed there. The weird one, though, was Pakistan. The United States has foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years, and they've given us nothing but lies and deceit, thinking of our leaders as fools. Well, you know, they may have thought of us that way before, Donnie, but you know, by God, you've opened your mouth and removed all doubt. They give safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan with little help. No more! So now, people are marching in the streets in places like Islamabad, protesting Donald fucking Trump and, you know, chanting death to America and, you know, burning flags and like, you know, spitting on his effigy and things like that. Because, hey, you know what's fun? You know what's really cool? A destabilized nuclear power. Oh, that's a blast. That's a hoot. At least with North Korea, I know, you're supposed to be just water-boweled afraid of North Korea because they're crazy, right? Yeah. And they might just decide to, oh, I don't know, nuke Poplar Bluff, Missouri, day after tomorrow. Because Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and because crazy. But in the long run, they're probably not going to. Yes, yes, yes. Kim Jong, bad haircut. Did tweet that he's got a nuclear button on his desk. I suspect someone snuck him one of those easy buttons from Staples that they actually sold there, thinking people would purchase them. No, they did. And one of them finally made its way across the Pacific and maybe in some Chinese container ship or something. Or maybe it never came over here in the first place because they were built in China in the first as it was. And just made, here, dear leader, it's an easy button. See, it's big and red, and all you have to do is slap it and the... Yes. Mm-hmm. But what's really fun, and the reason we've given all of that money to Pakistan over the last 15 years or so, and before that too, is because we have some notion that we would like for them to remain something resembling stable. What with them being, ever since we found out that they were a nuclear power. Now, bear in mind, Pakistan also was the home of, what was his name? A.Q. Khan? The guy who was running the nuclear bomb Walmart, who helped North Korea get theirs. And that was kind of a giant failure of not just American, but international nuclear watchdoggery. But we do. We try to provide aid to the country so that it won't slip into abject and miserable chaos. And leave a nuclear arsenal sort of rolling around unattended. Sort of like a puppy that can just go and shit on the carpet anywhere. And nothing much you can do about it, only in this case, the shit would, like, you know, provide a giant mushroom cloud over, oh, I don't know, Delhi, or Riyadh, or Tehran. And all day long, I've seen stories about, why is Donald Trump trying to destabilize Pakistan? This makes no sense.
As if there's any way to analyze the workings of the mind of a man whose brain ain't home. Okay? The man without a brain. He sees something on Fox and he starts tweeting about it. He misunderstands a commercial, and the next thing you know, we've got an international incident. The term Charlie Pierce used for him last week was a man in obvious cognitive decline. And that's a, you know, that's the kind of phrase you use if you're trying to be really factual and really sort of sciencey and medical about it. That's what we're watching Donald Trump experience. This is what America watched Ronald Reagan experience decades ago, the only difference being that Ronald Reagan had some people around him who, while vile and insufferable and bloodthirsty Republicans, at least didn't have sort of an apocalyptic death cult fantasy motivating them. Know what I mean? Well, such is not the case now. You've got a bunch of apocalyptic millennialist goobers, and plus, you know, Jared. And so when you see things like the Pakistan tweet, you go, why? Yeah, this doesn't. And you're doing something that leads down the road to madness, because you're trying to sort out with your fully functioning mind the workings of one that isn't and doesn't. I will posit a hypothesis, however. Yeah, that's true, Stephen, New York pointing out, Reagan didn't have Twitter either. Dear God, can you imagine if he had? No, let's don't. It was bad enough with him sitting behind a live mic saying, we've just outlawed the Soviet Union. The missiles begin flying in 5 minutes. Because he did that. For those of you not old enough to remember, Ronald Reagan did that and very nearly took us to the brink of nuclear holocaust. So why would he say that about Pakistan? Well, remember, he, like his Russian masters, is a chaos agent. No, I don't mean KAOS, the bad guy group from Get Smart from many, many, many years ago. I mean, he's an agent of chaos. He's an adherent of the idea that in the midst of chaos, there will be an opportunity to make some money out of it. Because nobody has ever bothered to tell Donald Trump that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses, that he doesn't get to take it all with him, that he's not going to get to the pearly gates and St. Pete's going to blow the horn and get Gabriel to blow the horn. Hey, Gabe, get over here. No, Donald Trump's here. No, really. No, God and Jesus, you know, they said to let him know the minute he gets here. We're going to have a parade. No. And of course, you know, Donald would be standing there in front of the pearly gates with a fleet of, you know, only the best U-Hauls full of all of his crap. Plato said, and it's more or less a paraphrase because I don't have the Greek for it. Plato said that the unexamined life is not worth living.
It strikes me that there are a lot of people inside the wealthiest of the wealthy in this country and in the world who are not leading examined lives. Maybe examining one's life is something one does when one does not have sufficient wealth to keep one from thinking about stuff, when you can just have whatever you want, and the only thing you ever worry about is, you know, getting more. But here's my theory, and this is based on something I've said in the past. And it was hard to get past, it was hard to get, like, the hardcore pro-Israeli folks to understand this, and the right-wingers and whatnot. But let us begin here. If you were Iran, and this is back when they were saber-rattling for a good old-fashioned throw down war with Iran, when America's with the greatest military on the history of the world on earth ever since spheres was to take just kill Iran. I mean, we just whoop them. And you know, never show nobody the body bags, body boxes, cardboard coming back. I don't know why we don't just go on across from the Iraq and move westward from the Afghanistan and just take out the Iran. Fools. The mad fools. As the Russian ambassador says in Dr. Strangelove. But way back then, I argued that if you were Iran, under any set of circumstances, if you were Iran, if you were Iran under the Shah or Iran under the Ayatollah, and you had surrounding you a bunch of countries that hate your freaking guts under any circumstances whatsoever, Ayatollah or Shah, and that would be Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, and let's not forget our partners in peace. You know, Israel, all of whom either had a nuclear arsenal pointed at you or one that they could use on a phone call, kind of like it is with Saudi Arabia and us, you know. Yes, this is the serene, majestic, noble, high graciousness calling. Would you mind nuking Tehran there, Uncle Sammy, baby? Well, you might be a little concerned and want your own nuclear arsenal just to hold people at bay. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, oh, there'll be a parade for Trump's arrival, but it'll be his arrival in hell and the party will be at my house. Get it? Hellhole, Indiana? Huh? See? You guys are good. So now you've got protests going on in Iran. You got a lot of dead people. You got Donald Trump, who probably couldn't find Iran on a map with if you spotted him the I, the R, and the A, and put his hands, his tiny, abnormally small hands on the right part of the globe. You've got him blathering on. Iran is failing at every level despite the terrible deal made with them by the Obama administration. The great Iranian people have been, Iranian, have been repressed for many years. They are hungry for food and for freedom. Along with human rights, the wealth of Iran is being looted. Time for change. The people of Iran are finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime. All the money that President Obama so foolishly gave them went into terrorism and into their, quote, pockets, period, unquote. Go figure. The people have little food, big inflation, and no human rights. The U.S. is watching. And so you get that and the Pakistan tweet, all within 24 hours of each other. And if you're a chaos agent like Trump, you think it's just kind of cool to have every... Look, he's roiled his own country into a state of chaos. He has sown chaos wherever he could. Jesus, look, there's a non-state wedding that's going to take place in the UK between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. It's not a state occasion. The UK isn't paying for it. And people are in the streets. And they go into the streets and protest every time there's a mention that that Donald Trump, the President of the United States, might come there. Gentle reminder, that's not usually something that happens in the UK at the arrival of an American president. A few might, and a few might for their own fairly well-stated political reasons. But a massive uprising of thousands upon thousands of people? No. No, just no. But he sows chaos wherever he goes. It's like he shits chaos. And so Prince Harry and Meghan, apparently sees Barack Obama as almost like the father he never had, wants to invite Barack Obama and Michelle to the wedding, and he's being told, you might not want to do that because, Donald Trump might throw a hissy. We can't afford to have that now, can we? I mean, that's the depths as we begin what we call 2018. As we begin it this year, those are the depths to which we have sunk. And so when people look at the Pakistan tweet in isolation and say, I don't know, what's the thing with Pakistan? You know, for all we know, he got some sort of briefing. And he just let the cat out of the bag on something. Or maybe he got a phone call from one of his Russian buddies. For instance, we know now, remember George Papadopoulos, the guy who just went to get coffee? Well, we know now, in the last few days, how it was that the FBI began investigating the Russia connection in the first place. Tell me if you've heard this one. Guys hanging out, getting loaded with some buddies from Australia. And apparently he can't quite go toe-to-toe because, I guess a little bit drunk. I want to come down there and put some koala on the Barbie. That's what I want to do. And it's very important. I know it's Donald Trump. I talk to him all the time. He's going to be president, as Trump is. And you know what we know? Yeah, I know that. Yeah. This is George Papadopoulos, okay? The guy who's already pled guilty? The guy who's cooperating with Mueller? Yeah, long before any of us ever heard about the stolen emails or the hack, long before Trump was even tweeting about it, or Junior, that is, George Papadopoulos is hanging out with some Australians.
This is, I heard from the Russians have got a whole bunch of Hillary's emails. That's really cool. This shit's corrupt, you know? This is really corrupt. We're gonna have them. The Russians got them. And they don't tell anybody about this. This shh.
You know, it's that shh that drunks do when they're really loud. Shh.
When they're really, really pastored. I'm kind of drunk. Well, George, we've got those names, or my name's not George Papa. George Papa. We've got those emails, or my name's not George E.P. Oh, got them.
So lo and behold, the Australian then turns around and says, Crikey. Oh, I don't think we were supposed to know that. Oh, I think you'd had a little too much. What do you think we ought to do? Well, I think we ought to tell the FBIs what we ought to do.
Now, this is before there was any word of any dossier, any Steele dossier, any PP tapes, any of that shit. And so the guys from Oz get hold of somebody at the FBI and say,
bloody hell. Aye, he was a bit drunk, he was. Yeah, had a few too many. Hoisted a few. Couldn't keep up with the Aussies. But then he started talking about how they've got, how the Russians have gotten all these emails from Hillary Clinton.
And so these Australian diplomats, these Australians, they did the right thing.
I don't know about you, but we wouldn't feel too good about it if one of ours was out running around talking to a bunch of you about having a bunch of stolen emails from one of our people. Nah.
And so that's how the FBI actually got started on the whole Russia thing. Remember, this is the guy that the Trump administration said,
don't know who he is.
Never heard of the guy. Low level. Couldn't even get my coffee right.
Yeah, the guy that was sitting there in the board in the meeting there with Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third on one end and Trump on the other. And him sitting smack dab in the middle. And Sessions,
well, yes, I do remember he brought up the Russian issue, but I told him we must never speak of this again.
That guy. So that's how that all started. And that's the chaos.
So really you're not gonna be in a bad place if you read some for profit media report that says,
we have no idea why Donald Trump would have issued the tweet that he issued today.
And you say, and then, well, all you got to do is you got to start connecting the chaos dots. And you go, oh, wait. Pakistan hates Iran. Iran hates Pakistan. Iran is a mess right now. What if we stir things up a little bit over in Pakistan? Maybe we can get them to get their war on.
Hey, wouldn't it be cool if Pakistan, like, nuked Tehran? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't know what the point is in having nuclear weapons if you can't use them.
Yeah, it wasn't just him talking about the United States. That's anybody. Sauce goose, sauce gander.
So, if you're trying to sort all this foolishness out, that's probably a good place to start.
All the way to London for coffee, says Steve. I had no idea English coffee was so good.
Right.
Well, maybe it was all the way to London for Covfefe. Yeah. Steve, by the way, points out, the reason he capitalized the Z, the devil. As good an excuse as any. Scott and Punky pointing out, keeping air travel safe. Uh-huh. He didn't keep air travel safe, and he couldn't make it pay either. The ups and mostly downs of Trump Shuttle, the president's long-defunct airline. Oh, there was that. Was that between Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks, or before or after Trump University? Oh, Jesus. Right. So, if nothing else, today has served notice, as if you needed it, that there's a whole lot of second verse same as the first in regard to, and God Almighty, in 18 days, it will be the second year of the Trump presidency. Holy shit. Yeah. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Yeah. We didn't manage to drive him from office in the first year. So we've still got the we've still got a goal. Yeah. But there's more and different madness than just that out there for us. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots. Because this is Titanic Tuesday, and we didn't have a Moran Monday, so that means we've got Titanic Morans today. And we'll get into them and some other things, as well as conversation. And see, just see where the whole thing takes us. And a reiteration here, if you want to engage in conversation, you are certainly more than welcome so to do. Here's the trick, though. I have to call you. Now, there's bear in mind, this is not the Psychic Friends Network. I can't guess that you want to talk. So, if you do want to talk, shoot me a message. Send me an email, bobkincaid@gmail.com, or send me a message on Skype on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And we'll see if we can't make it all work out. We still have $180 to go on Shirley's challenge here at 24 minutes past the hour. We're almost at the halfway mark of this Titanic Morin Tuesday. It would be magnificent if we could meet that and, you know, not have a challenge go by the boards. So thank you very kindly if you care to help out with that. This is listener-supported conversation radio for the second day of January 2018, the first broadcast of 2018. I'm Bob Kincaid. seemed appropriate. The Alan Parsons Project from many, 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 many years ago. You can't take it with you. Just a reminder, the headonradionetwork.com website is down because I can't seem to manage the difference in dating schemes between and however it is that they do their... Oi, it'll be back up in a day or so. It's just a bunch of... You know, it's frustrating. But it'll be back up. If you want to help out over at PayPal, go to headon.live. There's a link there. If you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, there's a link there for that, too. And, you know, the subscriptions, PayPal, just kicking in, PayPal, whatever. Ralph's, that's what went on. It's a screw-up. I'm trying to think, because John gets the emails from them. He forwarded it to me. And it said one thing, and then I tried to transpose the dates to make sense. No. And so, somehow or another, that happened. You'll have that. Well, thank you to Silent R. Lamar. We are now done with Shirley's Challenge for the evening, and fundraising can end. Thank you very, very much, Silent R. Lamar. That's huge. I'm going to go to the phones here just in a minute. Thomas is waiting patiently. But I don't want the program to get away from me without noting the first, at least to my mind, big passing of 2018. It happened today. The cause was cancer. And Rick Hall, who created the Muscle Shoals sound. Rick Hall, who turned Muscle Shoals into Alabama into a destination for making great music. Rick Hall, who brought together countless brilliant session musicians to create that Muscle Shoals sound. Rick Hall has passed away at the age of 85. David Hood, one of the people mentioned as in Sweet Home Alabama as Muscle Shoals has got the Swampers, and they've been known to pick a song or two. David Hood, one of the Swampers, said, "I think his real fix was as a mixer. He inspired us all and made sure we were playing what he wanted." Jason Isbell took to Twitter to remember Rick Hall and said, "Rick Hall and his family gave me my first job in the music business, and nobody in the industry ever worked harder than Rick. Nobody. American music wouldn't be the same without his contributions. His death is a huge loss to those of us who knew him and those who didn't." Singer-songwriter Mac McAnally and member of Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band said Rick Hall was the godfather of Muscle Shoals music. And what's more, Rick Hall kindly gave of his time for a wonderful conversation here on this program a couple of years back. And his is one whale of a story. The documentary, Muscle Shoals, which if you have not seen it, you should if you love rock and roll and soul, R&B. The documentary Muscle Shoals is every bit as much a biography of Rick Hall as it is a documentary about the rise of the Muscle Shoals music scene. The news will not get, well, I didn't find a New York Times obituary. But this is the passing of a giant. This is the passing of somebody who had heat. You know, if you do the whole It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey thing. Music as you think you know it would not exist were it not for Rick Hall. Imagine a world without Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin was struggling under her previous contract, and she only became what we know as Aretha Franklin after Rick Hall, in many ways, gave her the tools with which to be that which she became. The Stones made pilgrimages to Muscle Shoals. Paul Simon, Bob Seger, country acts, soul acts, R&B acts, rock and roll acts, Clarence Carter. The Allman Brothers found their direction, or at least Dwayne did, more or less camping out on the floors of Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, and went on to do what they did. So take a moment to note the passing of a legend, a monument, a giant. And big thanks to Agnes for making sure that I didn't miss that. Okay, let's run over. He's been ever so patient. Let's run over and check in with Thomas. Hey, Thomas.
Bob, to wish you a happy new year and the Horn family and commune a happy new year, and mention Natalie Davis, who was on our New Year's Eve show, who put me onto the passing of Rick Hall this morning. I got to. And not only that, to add to your Twitter Trump, beautiful, better than I could ever do, type of analysis. Because my friend Rory Boyd in England, you know, that island country that we ran away from unwisely, he and I talked on Friday about a Donald Trump tweet where he talked about our friends, the Chinese, and how they were supplying oil to our...
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. And then later on, we find out that it was Russian ships that were actually doing it.
Right, but I'm sure that... I'm sure that the Caratine Caligula has been informed. No, it was not the Russians. Was not ships from Mother Russia. Was
no.
Ships from China. It's always China.
See, me and Rory, we offered some suggestions on how they could accidentally get the oil to North Korea, and everybody said, "Oops, we didn't know this would happen." I mean, a few birds and an environmental disaster might happen. But, you know, what's one more Exxon Valdez where we're not, right? So, if the oil tanker accidentally somehow managed to bang into Pyongyang, or have whatever they call it over there, and spill all onto the river or whatever they have, oh, this was just an accident. We got lost. The GPS broke, you know?
It was not North Korea. We thought we were filling up fishing vessel, is all, in terrible distress.
Yeah.
Terrible. It was terrible. They put things in our ears.
You know, it's like Michelle Bachman talking to Jesus, you know?
Oh, God, you caught that one, did you?
I gotta say, and I don't come on just to promote the show, But
it's okay if you do.
Tomorrow's our 800th show, for some say.
I wonder how many shows I've got.
I'm sorry?
I wonder how many shows I've got.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know how many programs I've done. You keep count?
Well, Nikki Goldenheart was amazing as my very first co-host counted when we got to 300, and we've been keeping out ever since. And we're at 800. And the amazing, now I don't always agree with him, but he's still amazing. He's like you. If I ask for something or ask for a request, and he'll say yes. And that would be Matt McNeil from KTNF in Minnesota, where Al Franken used to be a senator until he got booted by those Trump-loving, Trumpansy bastards. And I unfortunately fell for it. I will say my shit dar world was off on that one. But that being said, Matt McNeil will be on tomorrow, and Rory will be on tomorrow for our 800th show. And I can't wait. It'll be on at 10 a.m. We'll be on Twitter. We'll be on Facebook, on our Facebook page and our YouTube page on FYI Nation. And it'll be fun. And I could, you know, without your help, I wouldn't be able to have FYI Nation have my programming throughout the day. And I'm grateful for that. You have no idea. And we have live or new programming throughout the day up until about 9 o'clock. And then broadcast is played at 11. And with everything that I've been through last year, I'm semi-hopeful for this year. Even though we have Darth Douchebag in the White House, I keep trying to come up with new names because...
No, really, Trump reminds me much more of the new bad guy. You know, now that it's been out for a while, we can kind of talk about it a little bit without worrying about spoilers. I mean, that guy is just such a pissant.
To be fair, I haven't seen it yet.
You could save the galaxy by pulling the back of his underwear up over his head. I mean, it's just, you know, he's just stupid. Bad things happen when I do mathematics.
Oh, that's like me with words.
So I'm just trying to rough it out here. I'm guessing that we're somewhere north of 3,200 programs.
Wow. Well, you've been on for years. I know.
That's why I'm trying to figure out, how did you get to 800 programs? Are you doing like five shows a day or something?
Well, five shows a day at 1.6, because we had a Sunday show for interviews, because that was the best time I could get people to do an interview. So we counted those as well as a part of it. So we kind of cheated a little bit. We did a little fuzzy math, you know, and but we're at 800, and at the time when I started, my friend Rory, who is from the UK, was our first caller when I was on the awful Blog Talk Radio
is that thing still around?
Yes, and it's still awful.
Never did understand how that worked.
And badly. Badly. And then I found a different program to use, which has been wonderful, and we've been using it ever since in 2012. So since I moved to Michigan, we've been doing the show, and then I decided to do the network, and you and Brad Friedman and Ron Placone, who is over at the Jimmy Dore show now, who's on the weekends, you three were the first three people, as well as Nicole Sandler, who are like, sign me up, not a problem. Just care, what do I have to do? Here's the feed information.
Right, yeah.
Without a question, without anything, and you didn't know me from Job, and, you know, I can't be more grateful for everything you do. So when people, so please don't say, I know you said fundraising for you is over.
Well, don't for today.
For today, no, it's never over, because we need to sustain you more than ever. I'm lucky at the moment because I'm self-sustaining thanks to my parents, because they took pity on me for the moment. But at some time I have to end that, and then I, you know, have to come up with new and interesting ways to raise money. But don't ever say that, because your show is something that independent media needs. And more people need to hear. And I'm so proud to be lucky enough to carry you every day. And grateful for your friendship and Agnes's friendship, and just it's just been a rough year for me, and
you have traveled on some seriously unpaved paths.
Yes.
Bad road.
But I will say, if I did not have FY Nation, if I did not have some say going, and I did not have my girlfriend and her mom and my parents and my outreach of family, even when we disagree, like I'm Jill Stein and Russia and everything else, if I did not have that, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning. And I know this because when I was sick for the whole week, it drove me nuts that I couldn't do a show. So I know exactly what you're talking about when things break down and you can't do it. The first thing I want to do is throw something and then break another thing because it's broken down. So if you have it to help, give. And as always, this is still a thing. If you give half to us and you say, I want to give to Head On Radio, we will give half to Bob Kincaid.
That's mighty kind, Thomas. That's mighty kind indeed.
I wouldn't be a democratic socialist, Bob, if I didn't do that. Come on. You know, that goes for any of our programs that you like to listen to. You know, we have Dr. Bill on the weekend if you miss Dr. Bill during the week because of the time. I, off the top of my head, I got to get the weekend schedule up. I've been lazy. But if you have TuneIn, you can find it. So I really appreciate everything that you do, and I know the Horn Community Commune does. And by the way, I also have to say, all hail the Queen Baker. She loves my Catholic humor.
Good.
And which is gratifying, considering I'm going to church now. Oh, and this should scare everybody about my public speaking. I've fallen in love with this tiny little church so much. Not so much the church, but the people in it and the community of the church, that every fifth Sunday, I will actually be reading the liturgy, and nobody asked me to.
Oh God, you're gonna walk by. Now I don't want to hear about you out there, you know, walking around with a monk's robe, whacking yourself on the head with a board, and Jesu Domine, whack.
It's not that kind of church. That was the one I grew up in.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of Bring Out Your Dead and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Bring out your dead, thunk. Yeah.
No, see, I did enough funerals with the Republican alderman who was a fellow altar boy in my town to give that up. So I've moved up a step. I'm in an interracial New Haven church that was, get this, a former police station. And they converted it into a Catholic church. The history behind the building is just amazing. And it is, I never thought I'd find a community like this that I'd feel welcome in. And for those that are asking, yes, they know that I'm bisexual. Yes, they know that I'm a liberal talk show host. And they do not care.
Sure. I mean, that's not something we generally get wrought about around hereabouts.
Yeah. I'm just, I never thought I'd be back in church. I honestly never did. I never thought I would. But sometimes you find yourself there in the right place, you know?
Yeah.
No,
I understand.
And I'm not saying it's for everybody, believe me. I understand about the Catholic Church, of all people. I could tell you stories about the Catholic Church and the one that I went to the first time and what kept me away. So don't get this, you know. I'm the first person, if you saw my Facebook page earlier about Catholic humor. But I'm not trying to convert anybody. But that being said, if you find a place for you, whether it's this community or any community, as long as they're not like, you know, maggots, go with it. And if they're maggots, run. run for the hill.
Run, yes.
Run for the hill. But I'm going to let anybody else talk. And Bob, again, I wanted to thank you for this year, for last year. And I hope
absolutely
that,
a pleasure.
And I hope that this year brings you good fortune, or at least stable fortune, as it needs to all of us in the progressive side.
Cue up the Beach Boys singing, "Wouldn't It Be Nice."
Right. All right, my friend.
All right, take care, Thomas. Bye now.
Happy New Year.
You too. Bye. It's our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. And the Horn Research Department, the Horn Research Department, otherwise known as Brother Deacon Asa in this case, has been at work. Let's see, 149 shows in 2005, 234 in 2006, 225. 2,378 shows through the end of 2015. I haven't finished organizing, tabulating 2016, 2017 yet, but I estimate about 425 programs between the two. Pretty close. I basically just round. I pulled off Saturdays and Sundays, and then figured, you know, well, I know the longest absences I've had from the program were the time when my dad died. I was gone for a bit then. That's about where, yeah, that makes sense. Close, that's near to 3,000. Not bad. Not bad at all. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa with a suggestion relative to fundraising. In my honest opinion, or humble, I'm not sure what the H stands for, it can be either. You should fundraise the regular amount every day and keep track of the subscriptions to kick it towards upgrades. Those equipment expenses are inevitable, even necessary, if you want to expand the program. Plus, you deserve it, Bob. This is hard work. Well, it ain't exactly 16 tons, and what do you get? A little another day older and deeper in debt, but and it's not 15 miles or whatever, however many miles on the Erie Canal it was, but I will confess, it's fucking cold in here. By the way, thanks for the kind note to Rhonda in Virginia. That one crept past me a little bit ago, and It's just nice to know that things like this matter to people. Rhonda said, I just found your show. Loving it. You're great. Why did it take so long to find you? Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Rhonda. And, you know, that's the curse of not having a $10,000 PR budget. People, it's almost mystical. People find the program who need to find the program. And it's like some sort of eldritch magic with a K. Agnes just kindly brought me a cup of decaf because even hot decaf is great when your fingers are kind of like next door to numb. But again, until I get the Skype stuff sorted out, you know, for instance, Sparky said, you know, you need to roll back to a different version, tells me the version he's running on. That's the exact same version I was running on when this all went south. But that's another plan going forward. So is trying another and different laptop, although I doubt that's going to make any difference. Arnold in PA tells me that Windows 10 has caused a number of issues, technical issues. A lot of our tech issues lately have been Windows 10 related, constantly resets drivers. The Skype machine is running wirelessly, but you know, I've got two choices there, and both of them are screwed up. I don't know. Maybe I'll try a hard wire and see if that makes any difference. Couldn't hurt. So it is a combination of Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday. And damn, if this isn't worthy, I don't know what is. Yeah, I know. It's almost too easy, isn't it, to run these Alex Jones clips. But how can you not? Yes, it's free publicity. I know that. But really, if the Horn Family Community Congregation is going to start listening to Alex Jones clips because of what I play here, well, you might be in the wrong place in the first place. Because this is just... Oh, my God. Oh, well, thank you, Rhonda. Rhonda says, I just told a friend about you today. I was listening to the Christmas Front Porch episode again this morning. Participating listeners make it fun and interesting, but most of all, informative. That's what I love about our front porches. I love the roundtable aspect of the conversation. And, Monday through Thursday ain't too terrible either. So, again, just to make things clear, if you want to engage in conversation until we get this godforsaken issue sorted out, you send me a note on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, and then I will call you, because I can call out, but I can't get calls in because Microsoft, really. Because they could, Microsoft could fuck up a one-car parade. And has on numerous occasions. Again, this is not a Frontier Communications issue, because they suck too, and that's an easy mistake we can all make, blaming Frontier. Because a lot of times it's, you know, they deserve it. Larry says, I always wondered what the fuck Muscle Shoals was all these years when hearing Sweet Home Alabama. Thanks, now I sort of know. You really need to watch the Muscle Shoals documentary, Larry. It's easy enough to find out there. M-U-S-C-L-E, not M-U-S-S-E-L or, no. M-U-S-C-L-E, Muscle Shoals, S-H-O-A-L-S, Muscle Shoals. is the name of the documentary, and you will be amazed at the music that you love that came out of there. It's astonishing. Of course, I've long maintained that that little corner of Northwest Alabama is a sort of a Brigadoon kind of place. It's mighty special indeed. I mean, it's not just every newspaper that can give you a headline that reads, "Sex clams divide Republican Party." Or, what was it? "Sex clams divide Alabama GOP." Same place. Sex clams. But anyway. So, Alex Jones. He's been, and I hesitated to run it earlier because I didn't want to do spoilers related to the incredibly awful, bad, no good, oh my Jesus, what a disaster Star Wars movie. But it's not a spoiler to point out that Carrie Fisher died shortly after filming The Last Jedi. And by the way, the next film will be Star Wars. No, really, this one's The Last Jedi, we promise. And the one after that will be Star Wars. The Last Jedi, or at least we thought so, we think we found another one under the sofa cushions. Alex does not, and I hate having anything in common with Alex Jones, but Alex Jones does not like The Last Jedi. But he doesn't like The Last Jedi because of the politics of it, because Alex Jones goes to movies for politics. This is, after all, Alex Jones, right? Alex Jones of monkey jellyfish hybrids that you can buy in Hong Kong and it, right, that. So let's just check in with Al, shall we? Yeah, do let's, because he's what in the, oh, okay, I forgot to turn that off, didn't I? It's cold, I'm not thinking real good, I'm sorry. Let's check in and find out why it is that Carrie Fisher passed away. Shall we?
So, it's the death of good cinema that's got Hollywood down 20% this year, 30% over the last 10 years. Previous, that's 50% in the last couple decades.
Make a number up, Alex.
It's
okay.
Year, this new film, if you could call it that, The Last Jedi, is like the last Star Wars movie I think I can ever watch, because it's like Russian roulette to go see this. And it had some great graphics and some fun stuff in it, but subjecting myself and my children...
Yeah, hold on just a damn minute. I didn't like the movie either, but they gave me 3D glasses, not a revolver with one bullet in it before I went through the door, but never mind, it's Alex Jones. Poetic license.
To every bad guy being a man, and all of the commanders being women, like seven deep, like this commander dies, so it's this woman, and then it's this woman, and they go, the chain of command, it goes to this woman, and the chain of command, and it's all about women are in the chain of command. Beat me over the head, beat me over the head.
God, it might help if someone did, Al, but the fact of the... And you wonder why he went through a nasty divorce. They must have had some lovely conversations.
I mean, I get, like, you know, don't have stereotypes. Show that women can be in power positions. This is, that hasn't happened throughout history. From Cleopatra to Joan of Arc, you name it. I'm, a lot of times, in bad roles, you know, Margaret Sanger, the list goes on and on.
Because that's how his mind works. Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Margaret Sanger. What does poor dead Eleanor of Aquitaine have to do to get a little notice? The most powerful woman in 1,000 years. And, you know, for Christ's sakes, Katharine Hepburn played her on the screen. And Alex Jones can't even be bothered to... No. It begins. Terrace with a note. No! Can I fast forward your live show? No, Terrace, if I... It, All we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it.
Queen Elizabeth II, you know, a known admitted Nazi, hiring Hitler, but that's okay, according to everybody, because she's liberal. But this is just a beating you over...
Wait, Queen Elizabeth's liberal? Well, never mind.
...the head to patronize women and to show them in SWAT team uniforms running around and to be the police and to be in charge, and the men are a bunch of idiots that have to be put in line, and it just goes on and on. And then poor Carrie Fisher.
Just as a side note, I'm glad that we have role models for women being... I mean, I'm going to say this, and I don't want anybody to hate me. I've never noticed the stormtroopers in Star Wars to be particularly gendered. Meanwhile, technical note from Brother Deacon Asa. I never thought I'd say this, but the toilet bowl echo almost enhances Alex Jones's voice. I was thinking the same thing. He's in a really boomy room, and it's quite awesome. Yeah.
Did
he just say stormtroopers running around? How can you tell the gender of a stormtrooper? I mean, are there very clearly delineated eyebrows above the... I got nothing. It was several years ago that my daughters explained to me, because I don't know. I was just, with the eyebrow, and one daughter looked at me and said, "Dad, eyebrows should be sisters, not twins." Oh, well, okay, I've got it then. But Alex is angry because there are role models, I guess, for little girls who want to grow up to be stormtroopers. Never mind the fact that stormtroopers, aren't real. Well, I mean, they are, but just not with the groovy white armor that apparently doesn't do anything, because Han Solo and Luke used to just routinely blast the shit out of them, and the armor didn't do a damn thing. While on the other hand, the stormtroopers couldn't shoot worth a damn. Under the subject line, "Toilet bowl echo," Steve in New York says he's talking out his ass. No wonder. Har, har, har. Ah. Randy in PA says, "Don't the stormtroopers have that athletic cup thing going on for them?" Well, but I mean, that's kind of generic. I mean, it's just body armor. I don't think it's gendered. Oh, I'm sorry. "Show them in SWAT team uniforms running around and to be the police and be in charge, and the men are a bunch of idiots that have to be put in line," and it just goes on and on. That's what he says. SWAT team. I watched the whole movie. I didn't even get up to go to the restroom. It was so awful that I wanted to make sure that I didn't leave the theater and miss the one moment that would redeem that horrible, horrible film. But my objections have nothing to do with gender. They have to do with bad acting, and, well, I covered all that. But apparently Alex is angry because, well, in a way, this is microcosmic. Alex Jones is angry about Star Wars: The Last Jedi the way white people are angry about the future. Because the future is changing. And short of the imposition of some sort of, God forbidden, I hope not, Handmaid's Tale sort of dystopia, we are, it appears, at least in what passes for semi-civilized society, trying to scratch and claw our way towards some sort of gender equality, and that's a good thing. But not in Alex Jones's world. What he's manifesting here is the same sort of terrified male privilege that you see in the terrified privilege that you see in the broader white wing community at the thought that maybe the men folks who have done such a spectacular job of fucking things up for so incredibly long might have to let other people fuck things up for a while. Because fucking up is the default. Okay? Not fucking up does not come with a Y chromosome or a particular age or a particular ethnicity. Human beings are human beings because we do not act solely from instinct. We act on the things that our brains, our primate brains, our human brains tell us to do. And in no small number of occasions, our human primate brains tell us to do the wrong things or are improperly motivated. You see what I mean? So that's... But when you hear something like this, what you're hearing is the yawp of privilege scared witless, and it's not a long trip for the likes of Alex Jones, that they're not going to be able to do their own brand of fucking up with reckless abandon forever going forward.
But you can see her tweets and videos before she died. And that was during the filming. She died right at the end of filming. She died right as it ended. She flew back. I'm not saying it's a star murder or anything, but we know in Hollywood sometimes when they think you're finally done, if you die right after your last record, your last movie, then it triples or quadruples your portfolio.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a star murder or anything. I'm just going to imply that it's a star murder. That Carrie Fisher was taken down by the Hollywood Bohemian Grove Illuminati Rosicrucians because they wanted to make sure. Oh my God. Now see, a long time ago, Mark Twain, because he was probably the most brilliant human being from a literary standpoint that this country has ever produced, he wrote a story about a bunch of guys who got together. They were starving painters in Paris or something. And they started painting for all they were worth, and they all painted the same way. And the idea was they were going to create a fake painter who was going to linger at death's door and then drop dead, and all his paintings would become terribly valuable. I think it was Twain. And that's how they were going to stop starving. It's really funny when Twain does it. It's just weird when Alex Jones does it. Because he believes this stuff. And far more than the dying off audience that Flush Flimball has, this is the future. This is the future of right-wing broadcasting. You've got to, because all right-wing broadcasting is a competition of insanity. It's a competition of outrage. It's a competition. So he has set the benchmark now. Alex Jones has. And everybody's got to keep up with Alex. It used to be that they had to keep up with Flush, or they had to keep up the guy with the falafel in the shower. O'Reilly. And they have to top each other's outrageous... the Savage Wiener tried it for a while, but he just sort of faded. Savage. Alex Jones is at the top of the heap now. And he makes his bones on outrageous claims of stuff that couldn't possibly be true. And with those claims, he keeps the people who listen to him from looking at the more banal stuff, the more prosaic stuff, that is actually far more dangerous to their and our existence. But, yeah, you had no idea. Neither did I. That's why we've got the clip that Carrie Fisher was bumped off.
But she just completed it perfectly, flying back, I guess celebrating or whatever, and had a bunch of different drugs in her systems and things. I'm very sad for her. Thought she played the goddess archetype very, very well, did a great job in the first films, had a long life, a lot of substance problems. A lot of us have been affected by that or had family with this, so I don't put her down. But it was like watching an under-the-bridge dweller, like we have near the office, who I try to bring food and stuff, who she looked like a... basically an old lizard that lived under a bridge or something that could hardly talk. And then she's blown out into space. She doesn't freeze to death in instant seconds or anything. Science is suspended, and I know it's fantasy. And then she, Mary Poppins, flies back into the spaceship, okay? I mean, and all these new films, like Communist China always saves us in every movie, whether it's The Martian,
huh?
With Matt Damon, or whether it's Arrival, the communist president, who's unelected, always saves America because our rockets can't boost or we can't talk to the aliens. But, you know, just every, because China, communist China, has just bought up most of the Hollywood studios. They bought controlling interest in almost all of them, but five of the big six right now. They're trying to buy up some of the other ones, too.
Where do you begin? Or do you even want to begin? Lizard? Lizard people? She looked like basically an old lizard that lived under a bridge or something that could hardly talk. Check me here. Let me know if I'm wrong. One, if anybody on Earth sounds like an old lizard, it would be a guy who sounds like Alex Jones. Two, have you, under a bridge or near any other sort of architectural element, or out in the wide open spaces of nature, have you ever, without the help of, say, lysergic acid diethylamide, or psilocybin, or, peyote, or that stuff that they go down to South America for now. Have you ever heard a talking lizard? Because that's what he said. Talking lizard. So we've got one entry. Steve notes, I've never heard a lizard talk, for one. Good. I thought I was missing something. Does a lizard have a lot to... I mean, does this guy think the Geico gecko is, like, real? Has our CGI... reach the point where Alex Jones can be fooled? I got nothing. And call me crazy. Whether you agree with my assessment of Star Wars: The Last Jedi or not is really immaterial. But were you under the impression, because I wasn't, that it was at risk at the box office, that it wasn't going to bring in umpty bajillion dollars? I mean, I missed out on those Star Wars ads, Last Jedi ads that said, "See Carrie Fisher in her final performance." Hell, I didn't even find any news articles running along those lines. But then again, facts are optional, fluid. When you live in the land of, well, it's Trump's world, and we're just living in it. By the way, we've had some more shooting going on. Imagine that. This time, and it was kind of weird because last week I had the story out of Douglas County. What was it, Oregon? And now we've got Douglas County, Colorado. Synchronicity. Happens all the time. I've gotten used to it. It was a... okay, thank you. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, pointing out, I've never seen a lizard talk, but I have seen an orange baboon with a bad hair talk, tweet, and golf. True that. Although that is a gross insult to both baboons and the orangutans that I was thinking about. Randy, with a note. You know, Alex Jones, that freak's sole purpose is so to be the male head of family hero that saves his hapless family from the apocalypse that he can't live his life effectively at all. That's about the size of it. But he, like so many other right-wing hate mongers and freaks, is a genius at marketing. Because that's not a clip of his show. That's just off the cuff. He gets an idea and he runs in and he sets it up and he starts talking, and then shit goes viral. Good work if you can get it, I guess. But anyway, back to Colorado on New Year's Eve, Sunday. I was watching my alerts come across. The AP was first. They often are. The first alert said multiple deputies are down near Denver. And subsequent reports said that it was a domestic disturbance. And it took a while before the word came out that the murderer in question here was a guy by the name of Matthew Reel. R-I-E-H-L, Reel. He shot 5 deputies, he shot 2 civilians, and it all stemmed from a complaint at an apartment complex in Douglas County, Colorado. Apparently, according to the Colorado National Guard, Matthew Reel served briefly in Iraq. Year-old deputy Zachary Parrish was the one who was killed. The others who were shot trying to pull him out of the line of fire. The whole thing went down about 5:15 a.m. New Year's Eve. They did kill Matthew Reel. Matthew Reel squeezed off about 100 rounds. Yeah, he was married, Matthew Reel was. He had 2 kids. I'm sorry, that was the deputy. Had 2 kids. Been about 7 months with the sheriff's office. Naturally, the Carotene Caligula offered
Thoughts and prayers, definitely. Oh, thoughts and prayers. Blue Lives Matter.
But not enough to try to keep guns out of the hands of people like this. So, a good bit of detail has emerged in the aftermath of, you know, who and what Matthew Real was. But there's enough to at least report on. If, on the other hand, you were watching Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and the reader being presented by their guy Eric Sean, you'd never have known about any of it. Now, this is what Fox reported.
Some new details on the Colorado man who police say shot and killed a deputy and wounded four others. Police were contacted with concerns, they say, about the mental state of the shooter over a month before the New Year's Eve incident. That suspect you see there on the right, identified as 37-year-old Matthew Real. He was an attorney and an Iraq War veteran. He also, they say, posted videos criticizing Colorado law enforcement. Police responded to a complaint at an apartment building south of Denver on Sunday. They say Real fired over 100 rounds at the responding officers who eventually shot and killed him.
That's it. I mean, that's about as much as I told you. But by the time that Eric Sean went on with that reader at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and you'll notice that the account focuses on his mental state, his mental status, the idea that he was mentally ill. Well, remember, the NRA jealously protects the rights of everybody, to own a gun. By the way, you'll also notice the absence in the reader of Matthew Real was a 37-year-old white man. Now, had this individual been Muslim or a person of color, it would have been the lead. A black Muslim man fired over 100 rounds at sheriff's deputies today. That's how it would have opened on Fox. Here's what you don't find out. At least not if you were watching Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You don't find out that his Facebook page was filthy. And I mean filthy in every sense of the word. Matthew Real's Facebook page was filthy, with images and icons, memes of what? Come on, you know. I don't even have... That's right. He was a neo-Nazi. Now, the folks over at Media Matters who grabbed that video clip, they still refer to it as alt-right. And sadly, that term has taken hold. There's no such thing. We've discussed this before. There's no such thing as the alt-right. It's just the white wing, which in turn is just neo-Nazis and Klansmen and people who sympathize with them, of whom there are millions in this country. And sadly, a whole bunch of the people in this country don't wish to even acknowledge that fact.
He was an attorney and an Iraq War veteran. He was a Nazi. He was a racist. He was a xenophobe. He was a bigot. He was a creep. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to hear that if you watch, you know, right-wing media. He was apparently a big 4chan fan. And 4chan is, of course, a goddamn sewer of the white wing. Among other things, people pointing out that the guy who was the Matthew Real shooting trainer, if I understand this correctly, is buddies with the bodyguard of Cliven, let me tell you about the Negro, Bundy. His Facebook page was filthy with Pepe the Frog. A meme of the Joker. Why so cucky? I mean, how do you miss this sort of thing? Well, the short answer is, you don't. It's not an accident. The AP headlines their story, the latest Colorado gunman ID'd as U.S. veteran with a grudge. Because I guess it's just entirely too much for the AP to be expected to headline something. The latest Colorado gunman ID'd as racist. Veteran with a grudge? A YouTube user identified as Matthew Real posted a YouTube video December 13th calling for the firing of Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock and railing against him in highly personal terms. I guess the AP missed out on all of those Pepe the Frog things, too. Oh, well. I guess you'll have that. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia, who patiently let me do my silly Australian accent without giving me any grief. Thank you, Robert. Subject line, nothing new. As there's nothing new about them, let's just call them what they are. Nazis. I don't know why that's so hard. Is it because they don't speak German? We've got a long history of Nazis in the United States. What's his name? Rockwell, founder of the American Nazi Party? The Nazis in the Blues Brothers movie? Yeah, that was based on real Nazis. Who knows? I guess. Nazis works for me, though, Robert. Apparently it works for you, too. Thanks to Mike in Cascadia for turning me on to Seth Abramson over on Twitter. Mike points out that he's got lots of good stuff as far as Trump-Russia is concerned. And links to the New York Times article that I mentioned a little bit ago with George Papadopoulos getting his drinky on and talking about you know, the Russians and emails. He points out the New York Times foregrounds the story's significance as a rebuttal of Trump's claims the Russia investigation began with the Steele dossier. But in fact, anyone who knows criminal investigations knew long ago Trump's claim was untrue. What we learned from the New York Times is that the Australians informed U.S. law enforcement in July 2016 that Papadopoulos had made covert contact with Russia. In fact, while the New York Times story is indeed this month's second biggest Trump-Russia revelation after the December 1 guilty plea by Mike Flynn, what makes it significant isn't that it rebuts Trump's false claims, but it may have sealed the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. Right, because it shows that they knew before there was, you know, WikiLeaks. Yeah, worth considering, worth thinking about. Oh, by the way, next time that some major portion of California or another state catches fire, you might want to ask a question or two of Interior Secretary Ryan Shrinky Zinky, the guy who can't think of anything better to happen to the Bears Ears National Monument and the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument than to have them blown into a million tiny pieces in the search for the finite hydrocarbon resources. Why? Well, it turns out that Zinke's Department of the Interior tried to use budget money from the Department of Interior that are earmarked. Yes, all earmarks are not bad. You have these things in budgets. They're line items, and you do the things in the budget in the line items that the things in the budget are line itemed for. Well, there's an Interior Department budget line item called Wildfire Preparedness. Well, not in Shrinky Zinky's world. I mean, the only states that really seriously catch fire that matter, that is, states that send Republicans to Congress, we'll take care of them. But, oopsie, after media inquiries, the secretary kind of got caught in a little oopsie-daisy falsehood lie. Newsweek initially asked about the costs of helicopter rides that Shrinky Zinky took back around the end of July 2017. And the Department of the Interior said, well, you see, those helicopter rides can be legally covered by the Bureau of Land Management and the National Interagency Fire Center. There was only one problem. When he went swanning around on the helicopters that day, Shrinky Zinky didn't go anywhere near anywhere that was, fire zone. So then, after Newsweek continues asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, finally, in late last month, the Interior Department said, Well, yes. Those helicopter rides. And anybody here, is anybody here conversant with the cost of helicopter operation? I've never had one, so I can't speak to it. But Shrinky Zinky, he hates it when his wife calls him that. Shrinky Zinky spent $39,295 of your dollars. Remember? Remember Dim Leader back during the reign of Erisane?
It's your money.
Yeah. Your money. $39,295 of your dollars on those helicopter rides. Anybody? Anything? And then they turned around and billed the $39,295 to the Department of Interior's wildfire preparedness account. Over there at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, they said, Ryan Zinke's caused a lot of controversy with his private flights, but none have been as egregious as using wildfire preparedness funding to pay for a trip that had nothing to do with wildfires while a wildfire ravaged California. Because this particular helicopter ride happened while the Detweiler wildfire was reducing a significant chunk of Mariposa County, California, to a freaking cinder. That thing burned from July the 16th to August the 24th, and 82,000 acres were charbroiled. 63 homes were destroyed. And also at the same time, the Chetco Bar wildfire blazed away starting on July the 12th in Oregon, and about 191,000 acres were reduced to ash before it was contained in early November. Mm-hmm. This at the same time that the Agriculture Department said that wildland fire suppression costs went over $2 billion. That made 2017 the most expensive year on record for fire suppression in the U.S. Shrinky Zinky loves him some helicopter rides. And yes, I understand your sentiment entirely, Jeff, from Hell Hole, Indiana. Come on, Bob, it's not news when a conservative gets caught in a lie. It is, however, earth-shattering, breaking headline news when one of these assholes gets caught telling the truth. Wait a minute, we haven't had a cowbell this evening. You get a cowbell, Jeff, if they're in Hell Hole, Indiana. I mean, Brother Deacon Asa, anything? You're the aviationophile. $39,000 for helicopter rides. Now, I mean, I agree. I realize I'm talking about flying coach, but I can jump on a plane in Charleston, and be in, say, Paris within 24 hours. And I'm not going to be set back over $1,000. And that's for the round trip. So that's 39 round trips to Paris in a jet. And that's probably apples and oranges. But I thought these were fiscal conservatives. Because back when, he was just another goddamn teabagger and serving in the House of Representing, and making Merca great again, Shrinky Zinky, he was all about him some fiscal responsibility. I guess that's before he got both the front and the back trotters in the trough. Asa tells me, I think the helicopter costs about $5,000 an hour to operate. Under those circumstances, it certainly seems to me like if you were trying to be careful about the taxpayer dollar, you'd probably want to make sure you were only taking those helicopter rides when there was something to see that you could only see by using a helicopter. And in this era, you'd almost think that, maybe putting a drone up and having it look around and watching from the camera on the ground, that might do almost the same thing. And I'll bet you drones do not cost $5,000 an hour to operate. $39,000. Just to zip around. Because, see, Shrinky Zinky has a helicopter problem. Hi, my name's Zinky. Hi, Zinky. And I'm powerless over helicopters. I have to ride them. Back on July the 7th, he ordered up a National Park Police helicopter. I guess they need one. To zip him back to D.C., him and a crony, because late that afternoon, he was in Yorktown, Virginia on July 7th, and late that afternoon, they had a horseback ride scheduled with Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. So they had to have a helicopter because we couldn't. Jesus, is that the epitome of complete obliviousness to the burning planet we live on? We've got to have a helicopter to get us back to Washington, D.C. so we can ride the horses. Whoop! And then there was the U.S. Park Police helicopter he ordered to fly him and his chief of staff to an emergency management exercise in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, on June 21st, the day after, I might add, West Virginia Day. And then the helicopter has to sit there and take him back. Yeah, the Office of Inspector General there at the Interior Department is investigating his helicopter problem. By the way, the railroad runs to Shepherdstown, West Virginia. I don't know if you knew that, but a lot of people who live in Shepherdstown, West Virginia actually commute to work in Washington, D.C. You can get right on the train and there you are. And assuming there's no bad traffic or anything, it's a three-hour car ride. Well, the little helicopter ride to Shepherdstown, that was $8,000. The helicopter ride so he could go riding horses with Mike Pence. I want to ride the horses. Was $6,250. What if, I know this is probably just meaningless, but there's a lot of us in the family community congregation who have Trumpansy relatives. What if you told them this story? And said, why didn't he take a car? Why didn't he take the train? Hell, he could have gone the night before and stayed the night in a swanky bed and breakfast in Shepherdstown. It's a lovely little village. Because these are people who are making America great again.
What happens if you look at one of them? I don't talk to Trumpansies. What if you look at them and say, yeah, those guys that you voted for that are going to, yeah, they're playing you for schmucks. They're playing you for suckers, babies. And you don't even have the common sense to get pissed off about it. It's not like they burglarized your house and snuck in and stole your shit. They burglarized your house with you sitting on the sofa, and you're handing it to them as they're walking out the door. Because what Jeff in Hellhole, Indiana said is true. If some member of the Obama administration was doing this, Alex Jones would be having a baby live. Well, okay, he'd tape it, record it. There's no more tape. He'd have a baby, and he'd record it, and he'd be screaming about Obama FEMA camp Operation Jade Helm Muslim Kenyan goons stealing all our helicoptering. Is this story going to make it to the for-profit media? I don't know. On the other hand, if you challenge Shrinky Zinky about it, he'll tell you that him just pissing away taxpayer-funded transportation out of things like the Wildfire Preparedness Fund is, and this is a quote, complete and utter bullshit. It's all just political. Well, it's political to the extent that he's involved in politics, and it's political to the extent that it's taxpayer money. But objecting to him zipping around in helicopters when there's no particular need for it? I mean, here at the Horn, the fabulous Horn Kincaid Compound Mansion, you know, we've got a hangar. It sits next to the garage where the Maybach and the Porsche are parked. We got a hangar. It's got a Gulfstream 5 in it and some kind of highfalutin helicopter in it because I don't know helicopter brands to say Gulfstream 5 or 7 or where, whatever we're up to. But I don't, I don't just go out and sit in it and turn and crank up the rotors or anything just to hear the engines whine and do the. It's really hell. It's really noisy. That's why I never do it on the program. And again, it's also not government funded. In addition to being entirely imaginary. So when Democracy Forward finally FOIA'd the helicopter documents, turned out there was an email in there from a staffer who said, well, you know, the secretary probably won't be able to get to the Nevada fire line because his schedule won't allow it. The department turned around and said, yeah, but the Bureau of Land Management will be able to pay for the helicopter out of the National Fire Office in Boise, Idaho. Because what the hell was the National Fire Office going to be doing with $39,000 in chump change? As Think Progress reports, the Zinke helicopter flights were billed to the National Interagency Fire Center under the category of preparedness. The budget is supposed to be used for worker pay, equipment purchases, and not Secretary Shrinky Zinke's fetish for helicopter rides. But we can't keep up, can we? We just can't keep up. Under the subject line, State of Mind, Mind of State, Steve on the Gulf Coast, a member of the fraternity of Steve, writes, Nazis? They don't need a stinking Nazis. We've always had the KKK, much, much better than a bunch of goose steppers, pointed Halloween hats, burning Jesus sticks. Much as Birth of a Nation is far better horror movie than it is a history, which it also is, now that I think of it, regards. It's all too true. History and horror at the same time.
So here we are, the first closing up the first broadcast of the new 2018 broadcast year. And the proof of the arbitrariness of calendrical rounds lies in the fact that the shit going on January the 2nd isn't a dime's worth of difference from the stuff that was going on December 31st. New Year, Shmoo Year. We've got a job to do. If anybody out there is into the whole resolution business, well, resolve to do something this year to aid in peacefully and legally and constitutionally removing Donald J. Trump from office and thereby helping to save this once great nation. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I checked. You're absolutely right. Keith writes in, subject line, helicopter. Bob, from what I understand, you have a Bell Jet executive. That is exactly what it is. I just couldn't remember. Bell Jet executive. I'll yes. Sits right next to it. Mm-hmm. And it sits right next to the antique Boeing Stearman biplane that's fun for just, you know, little hops over the gorge and things like that. And the Gulf Stream, whatever Roman numeral they're hanging on them these days. Yes. All right. One down, and I don't know how many programs there are going to be because I haven't looked at the calendar, but the rest of that to go. It's Tuesday. It feels an awful lot like Monday. But by God, tomorrow's prayer meeting Wednesday. And thanks to Will in Chicago and Silent R. Lamar for knocking down Shirley's challenge. That's huge. And thanks to all of our subscribers. If we can make our fundraising goal every week, we will have a fundraising-free end of the month. How exciting would that be? Well, maybe not exciting, but it sure is enjoyable. Yeah, that's very true. Will in Chicago pointing out, Bob, Euripides wrote, whom the gods would destroy, they first drive mad. I think that Alex Jones is nearly done with his drive in the clown car and is about to careen off the edge of the Grand Canyon. That would be fun to watch. Ah, true too, Will in Chicago. Bob, would Trumpansies be familiar with the word schmuck? Maybe not, but I'm pretty sure that they're down with jackass and dumbass. True, too, what comes in from Scott and Punky, Zinky Chopper woes. If only Mama and Papa Zinky had let little Ryan take a 25-cent ride in the coin-operated helicopter in front of Walmart, perhaps he wouldn't be so fixated. Hell, that far back, it was probably in front of W.T. Grant. Whoa, how's that? Oh, the ripples that travel across the pond. Cause and effect. So we're out of here. Thanks again to everybody who keeps the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers, our contributors. Thanks one and all to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. And thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.